control, and I'm that excited. Andrea, a little piece of trivia about me.
Yes.
When I was in grade school, we had a talent show.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be in the talent show, but I didn't have any talent, so we decided.
Oh.
We decided. Oh. I didn't have. I can't sing. I can't. I didn't know that I could be funny. I knew that I was a troublemaker in class. And I loved the Pointer Sisters when I was in grade. When I was really like, I think I was like in second or third grade or something.
Too. The Neutron Dance
and jump. Yes.
Oh yeah.
So we did. I'm so excited, and I can still remember some of the moves. And I mean, we were talking like, I'm skiing sideways.
Right.
And it was supposed to be me and Jennifer Boris and Kelly Kneeling, and those are their real names. And because I don't know how to edit, and Daphne will tell you that. And
you do not.
And but Kelly back. I don't know why Kelly bailed on us at the last minute. So we changed. I don't know what our names were supposed to be, but we changed it to the Patty Jens. Wasn't it?
Oh my god! It's so funny
because it's so it's kind of like the Pointer Sisters.
Yes, and we won We won the dance category, and here's why: there was nobody else in our category. So if you want to know how to win a talent show, Lee Edwards, you have to be the only people in your category.
I'm kind of like trying to think of like what category would I be in.
I don't know.
Dry sort of lame category. Is there a dry lame category?
I don't know, but I will dance like this for you. I
want to see the whole dance.
You know, right? one of the in my senior year, one of my, and you can look this up yourself, but look up the song by the Sugar Cubes, Birthday.
Okay.
And one of my classmates sang that song at the talent show, and it was a huge hit. Sugar Cube's Birthday. Just look it up yourself.
Okay.
Just look. That's all I'm going to say about
it. Look up Sugar Cube.
All right.
Sugar Cube's Sugar Cube. Okay. The song is Sugar Cube's Birthday. Just look it up yourself. She sang it.
So
it
you're saying
hit.
You're saying it was not appropriate.
Well, it was just different.
Okay. Just different. We're hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Dr. Daphne Scott joins us in studio. Jen Zanotti, our Motivational Monday expert. Well, although Daphne is also our Motivational Monday expert, so this is like colliding of worlds. And I have also invited on the show Lee Edwards and Kelly Bauer, both journalists with Block Club Chicago. We talked to Kelly a few weeks ago about some of the work that she does. Now, Kelly, you didn't know you were going to be asked this, but did you ever compete or perform in a talent show at any point in your life?
I have competed in ice shows for figure skating, but never a talent show.
Wow.
Wow.
I think Lee did not know the secret past of yours.
Breaking news. Wasn't ready.
Yeah, no, I keep it under wraps, but I was a figure skater for the most part.
Well, there you go, Lee. There's something you didn't know about your coworker. This is fantastic. Kelly, you were a figure skater? What made you stop skating?
Oh, my goodness. I stopped skating when I was a kid because I used to figure skate with both of my older sisters, and we were on a team together. And when they got old enough that they moved on to the next level of the team, I didn't want to skate without them anymore, so I quit.
Oh, the team broke up.
Oh.
We got to get the band back together.
Poor Kelly.
Do you still skate at all, Kelly?
Actually, yeah, I just went skating a couple weekends ago for fun, and I am not good anymore.
It's weird how you lose it, because I skated as a kid, too, and I could barely stand up in Millennium Park right now.
Oh, well, there's no ice there right now.
No, I mean now, when there is ice there, smartass.
I know. There was no hanging fruit.
Right. I know.
Have you not been here long enough to know that I'm going to take a bite out of that apple right there? I'm sorry. Lee, have you ever competed in any talent shows or something similar to your coworkers' hidden talents?
Not figure skating, but I've competed in them. A talent show as a celloist.
Okay. Oh, so all the hidden talents.
Look at that.
As a celloist.
Yeah, I am. It was like for a church group. I went in Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. I was there with my brothers. We did a musical ensemble, I think, of like old church songs. I want to say like This Little Light of Mine.
Aww.
See, that's cool.
Yes. I'm going to let it shine.
That's really sweet.
Yeah,
we didn't win though. We didn't win.
You did not win.
Except I'm still jealous that you were playing the cello.
Yes.
Whatever.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Now we know. What got you involved? What made you? Because we talked to Kelly a few weeks ago about being a journalist and wanting to tell these stories, in particular about our communities. And Block Chicago is doing such a great job of making sure these stories that might go unnoticed are really getting coverage. What drew you to journalism? at the best time and possible moment in history in America. Go ahead.
It started as an elective I took in high school, senior mm-hmm. year. I was like, you know what? I just want an easy A.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Hendricks' class back at Houston High School in Germantown, Tennessee. I was like, you know what? I want to take this, learn. And from that point, the bug just kind of grew and grew and grew. That's like a bad term, right? Bug. But
no, the journalism bug. We get it.
The desire grew from there. And then going to the University of Tennessee and other places, just seeing I wanted to highlight the stories of black folk all over. And I figured, why not go to Chicago and try it, too?
Well, we have a lot of stories to tell. And mm-hmm. the thing that we've talked a lot about on this show mm-hmm. Recently and, of course, over the last several years is how really separated we are as a city. We hear a story about a shooting or a depressed neighborhood, and we're always going to assume that it's Englewood or Austin. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is we had talked to Kelly about the police officer shooting of the young man who had a gun in his waistband.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. I apologize because I can't remember his name.
Haritha Augustus.
Yes. And she said that you two had worked on this together, and I realized mm-hmm. I didn't have your contact. You don't have, it's not as easy to contact you. he's got like a website, no contact info. Kelly, that was one of the reasons why we connected so quickly, was I wanted to talk about it as soon as possible. But you both have worked on some pieces, and you continue to tell the stories that I hope helps people, you know, understand the city in its parts so that we have a bigger picture of its whole. And Kelly, you have a piece, and we've talked to the folks from My Block, My Hood. I didn't realize that they were doing tours. And how can people learn more about those tours? And what do you think people are learning from going into the neighborhoods that we hear about on the news, or where we, you know, the ones that we're afraid to go into because, well, if you go south of whatever, you know, that's where the gangs are. What did you learn from My Block, My Hood?
Well, the interesting thing with what My Block, My Hood, My City is doing now is that normally when they do tours, they take teens from South and West Side neighborhoods and bring them to neighborhoods in the city that they haven't been to before, and they've even taken them outside the city for trips. But now they're having the teens organize tours, and this summer the tours are of North Lawndale and the West Side. So the teens have spent weeks researching all this history of North Lawndale, and they take people around the neighborhood and show them historic sites, beloved community spots, things like that. So, you know, they're showing them churches, but they're also showing them where to get the best sandwich in North Lawndale. So it's really interesting that they have these teenagers leading them.
Right, because the teenagers are the one, you know, we had some kids on from the, is it Austin Gage?
I think so, yes.
Austin Gage neighborhood. And some of our callers asked, why doesn't your family just move? And that must come up a lot. And the coverage that you do, Lee, when mm-hmm. when people read the stories, they think, and you cover all the aspects of it, both of you do, whether it's the shootings or the businesses, people trying to improve their community. Do you get people asking, well, why don't those folks just move?
I hear that, and then I also hear the response usually is, this is my home. My family grew up here. I'm a homeowner. I'm a proud homeowner, and I care about my neighborhood, my block. And long story super short is that we value our communities just as much as anyone else does.
Right.
And also there's always this constant lurking of gentrification, of being relocated with any outside forces. So the idea of investment in the community is always priority, at least among a strong group of concerned citizens.
Yeah.
What are you, both of you, Kelly and Lee, what are your thoughts on a lot of these, the protests that have been, the one on the Ryan that Father Flager scheduled, and now the one that Reverend Livingston is going to be holding on Lakeshore Drive a little bit later on this week? Are you guys from the mindset of, hey, you know what, this is, people are going to start noticing this? Or is it, you know, I think their aim is to try and get to go to neighborhoods where, you know, there isn't maybe as high a crime as in certain neighborhoods. So what are your thoughts? I'm just wondering your individual perspectives.
Kelly?
Well, I think that one of the major reasons that they hold protests on, you know, the Dan Ryan Lakeshore Drive is because it gets people's attention. And they want people to no longer be able to ignore the issues that they're protesting, which recently has been violence in some of Chicago's communities. So, you know, people will complain about, like, oh, it just makes me resent them, or it makes traffic worse. But in the end, their point is that they want you to pay attention and be forced to listen to their message. And that's what people are forced to do when things like this happen. So I think that they are getting their point across, even if it does upset some people who want to be driving.
Lee?
I would say I definitely agree with what Kelly said. And also there's an idea, too, of two Chicagos, because for some people, violence, concerns of crime or daily occurrence. For other people, it's never comes up at all. So to jar you out of that malaise, out of that sense of security for your neighborhood, to care about everyone else is one of the main central points as well.
And it's hard because when we had Reverend Livingston on, he talked about redistributing pain. And that's the idea of that. And it is hard in the fact that so many listeners, the response that we got was, you're not going to win me over by making me suffer. And that seems to be the response that we get a lot. And I know Dr. Daphne probably has some thoughts on that. And because we talk about the idea of, what story am I telling myself?
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about that. So what story are people telling themselves when they see, well, they're in my way, and now I hate them even more than I did before with their whining, and now they're just blocking traffic. Mm. Isn't
it? Yeah. There's a lot I could say about this, and I will.
Okay, let me take a break. Let me take a break.
Okay.
You get your thoughts, and I'm sure listeners want to chime in on this as well. 312-981-7200. There are a lot more stories to talk about with Kelly Bauer and Lee Edwards, who join us from Block Club Chicago. You can subscribe to their publication. They're doing a great job of keeping stories alive and sharing the day-to-day of what's going on in our city. And look, our journalists are doing a wonderful job at every, you know, at every corner, trying to make sure that you know more. And that's, to be aware, to be curious about what's going on in your city is the first step in understanding each other. So I want to thank our guests for joining us. We have Dr. Daphne Scott in studio with us as well, and Jen Zanotti. More when we come back on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. Thing. It's going to be all Pointer Sisters for the rest of the show. Is that okay with you, Andrea Darlis?
Oh, God. That was one of my first concerts.
You went to a Pointer Sisters concert?
I did, yeah, at the Holiday Star Plaza in Merrillville, Indiana, with my mom.
What?
She loved the Pointer Sisters, yeah. We got to see June, too. So
June? Who's June?
June was the youngest Pointer Sister.
Oh.
She passed away.
Oh, I didn't know that. I think we lost Kelly. And I apologize for that. I don't know if I pushed the wrong button and we lost Kelly Bauer from Block Club Chicago. In studio, we have journalist Lee Edwards. And we'll get Kelly back on the line in just a moment. We are talking about the different stories that they cover throughout the city of Chicago. And we were talking a little bit about whether or not the protests, in the way that Reverend Livingston is framing it, he was talking about how the redistribution of pain is something they're striving for. They don't want the mayor's approval, as they did with Father Flager. They pretty much had his blessing to shut down the Dan Ryan. Reverend Livingston is planning to shut down Lakeshore Drive, Daphne. I don't know if you were familiar with this protest. This is after the shooting that happened several weeks ago. It was Horatio Augustus. Was that his name?
Yes, Harith Augustus. Yes.
Please tell me his first name again.
Harith.
I don't want to get that wrong. It's you know, if you're going to talk about somebody who was killed, you know, it's sort of one of those things that Reverend Livingston has said was a bit of a flashpoint for him, saying, okay, look, we keep having these shootings and the Dan Ryan, and nothing's going to happen overnight. People get angry. I know we have a listener. We have a listener who wants to ask how they get involved. But what do you think about that idea of, for years now in Chicago, we've talked about these shootings week after week. Peter Nikias, who writes for the Chicago Tribune, has said, you know, I thought the last murder of a child was going to be something that was a turning point for us. Nobody has the will to change. How do we, does redistributing pain make sense to you, Daphne?
Well, I want to talk about a few things, and I'm going to already ask for forgiveness from the people that are listening to me, because I'm going to speak fairly fiercely about this. And what I want to say is that and we need to pay attention to this, but what it takes to harm another human being is that we have to be willing to armor our own internal knowing. We have to be willing to armor our bodies. We have to be willing to shut off a part of ourselves to truly harm another human being.
Right. You have to.
And I think this is the part that we're missing, the internal wisdom that we're missing, is that when we harm another, What we're doing is we're actually being identified with an idea.
Right.
We're not checking in with our own experience. And so if we really wanted to put all of this to rest, what we would recognize is that for me to harm another, for any reason, to harm another being on the planet, I would have to be subscribing to a certain belief that I haven't actually experienced in myself. So, in other words, I'd have to really be willing to recognize that I have subscribed to a belief that a person with a different skin color than what I have is the other. And this is very normal. So, at the same time that I'm subscribing to this, I have to understand that there's a normalcy to it. And what I mean by normal is that there's just a way that the mind does this. And until I can actually understand what the mind is doing, and I think this is the part that I really want to emphasize to people who are listening right now, is that this is from the mind. This isn't reality. It's from the mind. The mind is telling you that because I see another being who has a different skin color, and that I've been conditioned to believe that a person with another skin color is other. I've been conditioned into that over time, over repeated ways of my belief system. And I've never paused long enough to question that.
And people get very defensive, though, when you ask them to question it.
Yeah, of course, because of course they do. Of course I do. I mean, let me go from my own experience. Like, don't let me talk about another human being. Let me talk from my own experience. If I have a belief, if I have something that I have taken on that someone has told me, and I take that on, for someone to actually propose to me that maybe what you're believing isn't grounded in reality, of course I'm going to become defensive. And so the practice is to actually sit in that moment and to stay with it as long as you can to find out what is true. And so, you know, in our country, in the United States of America, what we have to understand is that this has been happening for hundreds of years. And it's every individual's responsibility to question these beliefs that we've had, the things that we've been told, the things that have been grounded into us. It isn't actual reality. And I want to say another word about this. This is going to take this a whole nother level. And again, forgive me for speaking strongly, but it's really important that when we start questioning our belief system, when we start questioning the things that we're told, what starts to happen is you let go of a certain identity. And that's frightening to people.
Oh, and that's the thing, is that I think people, again, when they think of the, and we're talking about the plans by Reverend Livingston to shut down Lakeshore Drive, to lead a protest, to call attention to and demand, well, that he's demanding that Rahm Emanuel step down as part of the protest. And people are saying, well, you know, you're not going to win me over with this kind of thing. And it's as though they're saying, impress me.
Yeah,
they're saying sort of, win me over isn't, we're not asking you to win anything over. We're saying, as Daphne is saying, can you take a moment and go, these are people who are, this is a community that is struggling and is in pain.
Yeah.
And they're not, yes, go ahead, Lee.
That's very strong. I definitely agree with your ideas, Daphne. And I also like to add in, too, people want tangible resources. So, for example, some community organizations, youth-led community organizations at that, are suggesting things like, instead of having a $95 million police academy, to use those same resources to improve schools, reopen mental health clinics all across the city, have a greater investment in some of these communities that are harder hit by some of these issues that you mentioned about the conditioning. And that is the tangible effort that people want to see, but there's not a lot of traction happening on that level. So once the awareness is brought by a march by Father Flager or Reverend Livingston, then the next step some suggest would be to invest. And the investment portion is always where things just fall off the cliff.
Yes, I agree with that. We have to go to a break. We are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Dawes. Kelly Bauer joins us on the line, and Lee Edwards in studio from Block Club Chicago. Guy, I'm going to take your call from the 815. You want to know how folks get involved, and you know how what is the goal of these protests? Dr. Daphne Scott in studio with us. Jen Zanotti, it's weird. It's my Motivational Monday experts in the same room at the same time. I didn't realize that they came, that they both.
We love it.
I mean, isn't it? They're both very effervescent and curly haired, which is just, it's like, it's almost like their energy just makes her go, I'm just going to be curly. More after this on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Dawes. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Dawes. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studios. Andre, I have a question for you. Did you just do weather before traffic?
I did weather, and then I did traffic, and you weren't back in the room, so I did the weather. So I did the traffic.
I was
again.
So confused. I was trying to get. So there's a refrigerator that has a very slow pouring water, and I was standing there. I'm like, I have to go to sales to get water for one of our guests.
You had to go all the way down there.
So I was like, I heard sports, and then I heard weather. And then I heard traffic, then I heard weather again, and I was like, I messed her up.
Like, oh,
I messed her up. I could tell it was
no.
me.
You know what, though? It's funny because we have a unisex bathroom, and I usually just run into the bathroom when we have like a minute break.
Right.
And then there was a line the other night because we had the theater group in. And I'm like, ah! So I had to run all the way down to the other end of the building to go to the bathroom. So
yeah, I was so it was a little bit of running. I'm like, oh, I got plenty of time. We're on commercial.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, Lee's like, what's happening? Lee Edwards joins us from Block Club Chicago. Kelly Bauer on the line with us as well. And Jen Zanotti, our Motivational Monday expert, who alternates when our other Motivational Monday expert usually is on, but she hasn't been here ever this summer. Dr. Daphne Scott joins us as well. And Dr. Daphne Scott was talking a little bit about these protests that are coming up. And actually, this is a trend worldwide where people are shutting down major roadways and demanding that people pay attention. And there's a lot of conflict because your opinion, and you and I have talked about this, Dr. Daphne Scott, is about your opinion. People consider to be their identity. So if there's something wrong with their opinion, then it feels as though there's something wrong with them. And it's very hard to separate those two things.
Yeah.
And we hear something. So I've asked people to listen with love. And I know that sounds corny. So we've tried to say listen with empathy.
It's not corny.
But people hear it as corny. I had someone say, oh, I guess I have no love, so I'll just stop listening. But I didn't say you didn't. That's you saying that.
Right.
I'm asking people to. Everyone is asking. And shutting down your road doesn't sound like it, but people are saying we are suffering. We have a foot on our throats right now, and we don't know how else to say, please help us. And Kelly Bauer joins us on the line, and we've been talking about these protests that are planned, one protest planned for Thursday, which is a big day. There's a Cubs game. Lollapalooza starts. It's a summer weekend, so traffic is already really very messy.
Right.
And so, you know, people are trying to figure out how to coordinate their day, but some people coordinate their day as when is their child going to be safe walking to school? Or will my child make it home? Or will I be safe sitting in my car or going to the drugstore? What is my day going to look like when somebody might not make it home? And that's not easy to ask people to consider. And Kelly, I know that you're online, so it's hard because there's so much energy in the studio, which is why I keep asking you to come in studio. And one of these days, we'll have you here. We have a listener from the 815. Guy has a question for us. Hey, Guy, thank you, first of all, for holding on the line for so very long. What did you want to say?
For you, anything. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay. How does somebody get involved? A white guy from the suburbs.
Do you want to be involved in the protest this Thursday?
Well, no. I mean, no, for the long term, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I'm working now, and I work 5 to 1:30, so.
Right.
I mean, who can I contact? I mean, I need a cause.
Well, you know, writer Scott Smith, our man in Chicago, has actually talked on our show a lot about different ways to get involved in the community, volunteer programs, how to help kids in after school programs, donating money, being a part of any of their, you know, being a resource for the community as well. Lee, do you have any thoughts?
Hi.
Hi.
I would say
I'm just specific to the Chicago cause, really.
Yeah, no, this is Scott Smith is a Chicagoan. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would say there's look up different organizations, try to find the special area on which you want to focus on, so whether it be police accountability, there's different groups on that. If there is any cause in terms of supporting women, there are definitely strong causes for that, and that's all these things are valid choices. So we want to do a little research and find what really makes you passionate. Everything else will kind of fall in the line.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
And again, guys like Scott Smith, if you Google ways to volunteer, how do I help? I'll bet you there are different resources that will pop up for you, and you'd be surprised at how many opportunities there are. And first of all, the best thing that you've done is to ask. A lot of people don't ask. Their first reaction is like, why do I gotta, you know, be inconvenienced? And you're doing the other. So we appreciate that.
It's to the point where it's out of control, and you have to think it's your own whole neighborhood is the world. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yes. Out of control so much. So I will do my research and get involved some way.
And we will continue to hopefully bring more people who can give you more information about that directly, about the exact programs that they're involved in. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we have Senator Katowski from ChildServe on the show. We have our friends from Esperanza, and those are two organizations that help children in at-risk situations or with autism. But you're right. I should be having more people on regularly so people know how they can directly and fundamentally get involved, because Dr. Daphne, we talked about this earlier. The worst thing is feeling as though you're powerless, and Guy wants to feel like he has something to contribute, and I think that's great.
Yeah, and I want to hear from my compadre over here, you know, our other positivity expert here in a second. And, you know, I think one of the things that can very much happen in the mind is that we can get biased toward, you know, we are all wired with this sort of what they call a negativity bias, where we look for the threat naturally. We're just wired that way. And we can lose sight of the fact of all the beautiful things that are happening.
Right.
And, you know, this caller who just called in and said, you know, how do I get involved? I mean, that's a beautiful thing.
That's
and
amazing.
Yeah, and that has been happening forever. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about, you know, how we actually shift our attention and how we put our attention and naturally can put our attention toward the things that are going well at the same time.
Yes.
At the same time that we don't deny anything. At the same time we don't deny that there is suffering, you know, for all of us. But I'm going to shut up now and I'm going to let you talk.
and Jen, this is about, and we've talked about this, about making that choice to make a difference,
absolutely,
whether it's in your life or in the lives of others.
And I was just having this conversation with one of my clients today, too, that, you know, we tend to sometimes, I think the easier, I don't want to say the easier choice, but it can be to be more negative. You know, I've had people all the time tell me, oh, you're always so positive, in like a negative connotation.
They're annoyed with
it. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to say, you have to go through your feelings, of course. You have to experience them, but then you have to let go and move on. And I feel like that's, in that moment, you have the decision. Am I going to choose to continue to be negative, which can be a weaker choice, or am I going to find the strength to be positive? Because sometimes that's a lot more difficult to take that road, especially when you are going through a lot of different things in life that everybody else has their own experience with. But I think when you can see and find those little glimpses of hope or those times of positivity, then I think that just makes all the difference in your outlook.
Totally. And you're right. The negative is the easier response. Kelly, when you write some of these pieces, are you finding the feedback you get is the people who are just annoyed with, you know, why do we got to talk about this, or let them take care of it themselves? Do you find that to be true, Kelly?
I guess it sort of varies. You know, there will be times when people say that they're sick of all the bad news, that they only want to see these positive stories. But something that we as journalists grapple with is that it is our duty to inform communities. And part of informing them is writing about crime and some of these things that get labeled as bad news. So we certainly do get that kind of feedback, but I don't think it can affect the mission that we have to inform the public.
Well, and that's why I wanted, and I'm going to do this before the break so that we can maybe turn to some of the uplifting stories you have before we let go of both of you. This story out of Wrigleyville and the Foo Fighters concert where this woman was sexually assaulted at a porta potty. What have you heard in the aftermath of that? What happened to her? Because this is a terrifying thing for anybody, really.
Yeah, so during the Foo Fighters concert on Sunday, she was standing in line for food and a man came up to her and groped her. She left the line and she went to a porta potty on Addison Street, but the man followed her into the porta potty before she could lock it and he sexually assaulted her.
Oh my God.
And they're still looking for him, you know, trying to take him into custody. And the Cubs are, of course, helping with the investigation. But yeah, that just happened last night.
And it's interesting, you know, my instinct is to go, you know, like, how do you, for me, as a woman who goes to some of these events and then says, hey, I'll be right back, I'm going to the bathroom, right? So now it's go with somebody, watch me. And I hate that we have to do that. Yes, Lee.
I feel very strongly about the idea that from a young age, you have to teach men how to respect women and not be rapist and sexual assault.
Right.
That should be ingrained at a young age, and I'm not sure those conversations are had across all genders, across all levels. You know?
It's not for you. That body is not yours to take. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. I think, hard to, you know, again, it goes to what I was saying earlier, where people are like, oh, here we go again with this, rather than listening to why we're asking for that.
Yeah, it speaks to any form of objectification, really. Any form of where I suddenly see you as other, you know, where I can't see you as another human being on the planet who has the same desires. And this is how we separate ourselves. You know, this is the way we do it. The at the very root level, we judge. And so that when I judge you, what I'm really doing is creating a form of separation so right. that I'm not that over there. And so, you know, it makes sense if we go far enough in our judgment, if we go far enough in our objectification, now you're no different than a pencil to me. You're no different than a cup to me. And I don't recognize that, you know, there's actually another human over there. There's another right. being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we get caught into this, in the space of objectification. What I really encourage people to do is to not worry so much about what another human being is doing, but to look at the self. First, let's just start there. You know, let's work with our own house first. You know, how do I objectify? You know, from the simplest level, like let me give you an example. I was in the grocery store 2 days ago, and you know, the line was long, and immediately I could feel myself attached to the idea that it should move faster. I should get through the line faster than anybody else. The person in front of me shouldn't have the same space and time that I should have, right? In Chicago, you can do this in traffic. Like everybody, this could be your practice. I'll give everybody who's listening right now a practice. When you're sitting and you're driving in traffic, just notice how much you want to get in front of everyone else. Like, no one is as important.
Well, Andrea and I have no idea what we're talking about. Not
right,
at all.
Especially when
no
it's one, each other.
That's a great yeah. example,
no one
though.
Is as important as you. And suddenly, everyone else around you is an object for you to get around, for you to avoid, for you to... And this is the root. You know, this is mm-hmm. the root. So you just practice. You have to be
and
willing to practice.
I don't know if it's wrong or not.
Myself changing.
we had Gloria all red on the line, so we had to get down here.
Out of my way.
Well, let me get around you to get to this commercial break. When we come back, we've got Kelly Bauer and Lee Edwards in studio. We're going to talk about something positive they both have written lately. And we can, Kelly, I didn't have a chance to ask you about this, but maybe the need for foster care for a lot of the animals in the city. Whatever piece you want to tell me about, and I know that you've got some great stories as well, in particular the Queen Makers on the mm-hmm. South Side, and we'll get some information from Kathy about an important event coming up on August 1st as well. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darroze on 720 WGN. Listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We were hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. We may or may not have lost Dr. Daphne Scott. No, she's right there. I sent her to the restroom, but I'm not sure if I gave her the instructions to come back. She's, you can come in the door. Bob, yeah, push on the door. It's a very heavy door.
It is a heavy door.
It's the heaviest door in the building. Dr. Daphne Scott joined us in studio. Jen Zanotti. Sorry, Jennifer. I got very...
That's okay. I don't think you ever call me Jennifer.
I know. I feel a little bit weird. Lee Edwards and Kelly Bauer are both writers, journalists for Block Club Chicago. And before we find out some of the positive and wonderful stories that they're covering, Kathy wanted to let us know about an event coming up as well, an organization that's near and dear to my heart. Hey, Kathy, tell us a little bit about this event, the fundraiser for therapy dogs. Yes.
First, let me tell you, the fundraiser is tomorrow, Tuesday.
Tuesday, the 31st. My apologies.
From 6 o'clock until, from noon until about 6 o'clock at Josie's Frozen Yogurt at 4032 Milwaukee. 20% of all those sales are going to City Kids. And City Kids is a pediatric therapy center. They offer physical, occupational, and speech and language therapy services. And they're located in Jefferson Park. And the fundraisers for a therapy dog, they found that there's huge benefits having a therapy dog in a facility like this. And so we're hoping to stop and get some frozen yogurt, enjoy the taste of it, meet your friends and neighbors. And 20% goes to help a really worthy cause.
Wait, so Therapy Kids, City Kids, by the way, City Kids, my son was there for 4 years. It's on Northwest Highway. Over by there. It's near Northwest Highway and Nagel. It's by Highway House if you guys ever want to stop for a burger and check out City Kids. But they, as she mentioned, they do great therapy for kids for all abilities, in particular kids. If you need early intervention, they do all those programs. But Kathy, are you saying that they're trying to get a therapy dog for City Kids itself for the facility?
Right. They wanted, and you, I'm sure you, with the problems you have with children, you know how, cause I have a nephew who has a problem, and my niece has, she bought a dog, and when he's really upset or she can't calm him down, she bought this beautiful boxer, and he just cuddles up to the boxer and calms him down immediately.
That's wonderful. So that's Josie's Frozen Yogurt, and that's the one on Milwaukee Avenue by the Six Corners area, right?
That's 2032 Milwaukee. Her name is Barbie.
Wonderful. So everyone, tomorrow at Josie's Frozen Yogurt, 20% of the proceeds will go to City Kids to help them raise money for a therapy dog. Thank you so much for that, Kathy. We appreciate
it. Thank you. I want to thank you so much for letting me get it out here. I really, really appreciate it. Oh. I'm sure City Kids is going to appreciate it also.
Well, they should be reaching out to me because they know how much I love them. I've got stuff for them, actually, a lot of stuff to give them. Thank you, Kathy. Have a great night.
Stop off at Josie's. You told them Kathy sent you, and anything you get is on the house.
Well, I got to buy something to get that therapy dog. Thanks, Kathy. Have a great night. And speaking of wonderful animals and pets, Kelly Bauer is on the line with us from City Club, from Block Club Chicago. Tell us about the PAWS program and what they need.
Yeah, so last weekend, PAWS Chicago, which is the largest no-kill animal shelter in the city, realized that it was at capacity and it would no longer be able to take in animals. And that would mean that they wouldn't be able to rescue as many animals this year. So they sort of sent up a flag letting people know we need there to be adoptions, we need some foster families to step up, and they held an adoption event this weekend, and it was just wildly successful. By the end, there had been more than 109 adoptions, and they've had more than 200 families submit applications to be foster families.
Oh, and that's the thing, too, is that you can, you know, people think of the responsibilities of taking on it. And now, Andrea, I know that you've just installed a bird bath, which we'll talk about later.
No, birdhouse.
A birdhouse.
It's not quite ready yet.
It's not ready, but maybe you want to, you know, also get a dog to chase off the squirrels who will be bothering the birds. Yes. I don't know about a cat, because a cat might be like, oh, dinner's coming to the birdhouse. Yeah, right. But, you know, have you guys ever thought about fostering an animal this year?
Yes.
Yeah, just saying.
I absolutely have.
All right, then. I'm just trying
to
encourage
people. But the schedule's a little weird right now.
let me work into one.
Yeah. Let me get used to the schedule. But that's a great idea.
For anybody,
you have to do it.
Yeah, and you can follow PAWS Chicago on Twitter at PAWS Chicago. And I know, Lee, you had a piece about some women on the South Side who are trying to encourage young women to get involved in business.
Yes. Chicago Foundation for Women launched, I believe, in March, what they call a giving circle. So Southside Giving Circle, and it allows women of all backgrounds and financial situations to come together and raise funds for collectively to support women and girls all across the city of Chicago. This particular Southside chapter is hoping to have a system where they support Black women and girls on all levels. So one of the things for the foundation is that they focus on the areas of need of health, economic empowerment, and freedom from violence. And those are sort of the initiatives that they want to focus on. The Giving Circle will be focusing these efforts starting in December when they start making their first grants.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for both of you sharing all the information and stories that you both write so wonderfully. Follow Kelly on Twitter at Bauer Journalism. That's Bauer Journalism. Go to blockclubchicago.org to register for their subscription. You've got to subscribe and keep these stories coming. Lee Edwards, you can follow on Twitter at
Mario Lemieux. It's kind of like Mario Lemieux, the famous Pittsburgh Penguin.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why I knew I wasn't going to remember your Twitter handle. See, but Kelly, can you see why it was hard for me to get a hold of him? I'm like, what, now wait, what's his Twitter handle? And where's
I didn't realize Twitter was going to be a thing. So you just roll out something that I thought was funny, then now it's my life. So
there you go.
Who would have thought it would have caught on?
Yep.
Oh,
well,
shucks.
Kelly, thank you for connecting us, and thank you for being on the line with us. We will see you soon, I hope, in studio. Keep both of you stay safe, and thank you for all the hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Of course. More after this on 720 WGN.